Mr. Lab.
Yes, Your Honor.
Good morning to you. You may approach.
Good morning, Chief Justice. Good morning, Your Honors.
We have a few people coming in and out of the court, so let's give them a second to get that done. And that appears to have happened, so you may proceed.
Thank you. I'd like to reserve 2 minutes. May it please the court, counsel, my name is Nathan Lab. I represent the appellant in this case, Louis Gertel. This is a criminal case arising out of Stanton County, Nebraska. I will attempt to summarize what I think is the most important issue here, which is essentially my argument that someone cannot be found guilty of the charge of driving under the influence if the operation or actual control of the vehicle occurs in a ditch that's adjacent to a country gravel road. I believe it's a legal impossibility because the rules of the road protect people who are driving on public roadway or private roadway with, private property with public access. And I don't believe the road ditch satisfies either one of those.
The issue on road ditches are a kind of no man's land?
I do believe so. A good example of this is after I was arguing in front of the appellate court, it was around the time of the floods in March of last year, and there were less ditches as more rivers. Ditches are not designed to be driven upon. If we were talking about a shoulder, if we were talking about perhaps a demarcated line where someone could pull off the roadway without having their vehicle immobilized, which is what occurred here, Mr. Gertel was driving to a local bar late at night. It was a freezing winter night in February. He tried to do a three-point turn. He backed up too far. The back wheels get into the ditch, and he ends up becoming immobilized. He doesn't have a cell phone. It's cold. It's late at night. He decides he's going to sit and wait for someone to come across for help, and lo and behold, the first person that does is a law enforcement officer. At that point, he had been drinking from a bottle he purchased previously in the night while he was sitting in the ditch. He panicked and throws the bottle.
Doesn't part of that go to credibility if the jury accepts that version of events that your client has testified to?
It absolutely does. And the problem we ran into is when trial counsel brought this up in opening arguments to say the state can't prove it happened on public roadway. She was immediately admonished to say they don't have to prove that. And the state then in closing argument was able to argue this one of two ways. It said you could find him guilty if you disregard his argument, find the officer credible, and believe he was actually drinking at the time he was on the county road before he got into the ditch. Or it argued you don't have to find that. You can find him guilty if you just believe you can find him guilty because he admits he was drinking and the operation in a ditch is sufficient. So we can't glean from the record whether the jury decided we're going to discredit Mr. Gertel's testimony and find that he was drinking before he went into the ditch. They were given both alternatives.
Is a ditch open to public access?
It's a good question. And the misnomer, I think, in all of this is the word access because we focus on that. And can I access the ditch from the roadway? Yes. I also access my driveway from the roadway. It's designed for that. But that's also a protected area in State versus McCabe where we've come out and said it's private roadway, even though it's accessible by the public. Anybody can drive off my residential road and drive onto my private roadway, my private driveway. But that's private property where I have the right, and I certainly am not advocating anybody do this, but I could sit in my driveway in my vehicle with the ignition on, driving up and down my driveway, drinking, and that is not driving under the influence.
Who owns the real estate underlying a county road and the adjoining ditch?
Great question. And this was never an issue. There was no presentation of evidence to suggest whether this was, I would argue if it was a county-maintained road, it's probably owned by the county. I'm not sure if it was a minimum maintenance road. There's really nothing in that was brought up at trial to suggest.
So if it's owned by the county, wouldn't it be owned by the county all the way from one fence to the other fence, including the ditch?
It's possible.
And if it's owned by the private landowner, wouldn't the county's right-of-way extend that same distance from the fence on one side to the fence on the other?
Well, it depends, because I'm not sure what right-of-way that the county would be able to exercise if it was private land at that point. I think that's coming close to a case that was brought up, I believe, by the government in this that talked about a private driveway, but it was shared by multiple tenants. And in that case, it said because multiple people may access it, it's private property open to public access. I'm not sure if a farmer who would own that land, if this was privately owned land.
Let's assume for purposes of this question that it's the county road, the farmers own to the center of the county road, and the county's right-of-way extends 33 feet either side of the center line of the road. Assuming that's the regimen we're in, isn't the ditch part of the road?
At that point, I would still argue no. And
so you're saying it's the traveled surface only?
Well, yes, because if we're going into that example of owning something that the public could access, I mean, technically I could access my neighbor's yard by simply driving up onto it from a curb. I think it also has to be weighed against the expectation
of... that doesn't make your neighbor's yard open to public access. The fact that you got there doesn't make it open to public access. Does your entire argument turn on this court finding that a ditch alongside a roadway is not open to public access?
In the short word, yes.
And if we find that's not a proper construction of our law, then where are you?
I'm in a very difficult spot.
Do you suggest we do with our 3 or 4, maybe 5 cases where we have affirmed a DUI conviction where a vehicle or a motorcycle was found in a ditch?
So with those cases, there are differences. And what I've yet to see in those is a finding that the ditch itself was a traveled roadway or was private property with public access. Again, I think there has to be an expectation that this private property is someplace where a public motorist could be found, not just because someone could access it or because it's, quote, public property. A park is public property, but you wouldn't expect to find people driving through the middle of a park. The, where it turns in the case involving, sorry to cut you off, Justice, involving the ditches, I think the one that the state relies on the most is a situation where a vehicle was immobilized in the ditch and it was towed out. The difference there is the reason they said that occurred on public roadway is while the vehicle was being towed out, the driver was in the immobilized vehicle operating it. The ignition was on. And so they said once it got towed out of the ditch and hit the public roadway, we don't have to decide the issue of the ditch. Another one was a motorcyclist who had crashed into a ditch, but there was no credible evidence because as soon as he had crashed into the ditch, he was found, to suggest that he was had any chance to ingest any alcohol after he was in the ditch. So again, they were able to say plenty of circumstantial evidence that the only operation occurred on the public roadway before he goes into the ditch and he had no chance to ingest alcohol in the interim.
So under your argument, doesn't that logically mean that someone driving down a traveled surface who intentionally or unintentionally goes into the ditch is somehow trespassing?
Very likely, yes. Yes.
Yeah, that's your argument.
But my argument is that when looking at the expectation of, and I understand this, is there ever a situation where we expect somebody's going to be driving or transporting or in any way along a ditch in their vehicle? And I think the only time that would ever occur is when there's a car accident. So could someone intentionally...
hunters? Are they trespassing if they pull off off the traveled surface into a ditch adjoining someone's fence line? Trespassing?
I would think many times they could be, depending on who owns that land.
Who are they trespassing?
Well, I think part of the reason why they're trespassing is they're on a place where their car shouldn't be or vehicle shouldn't be in the first place. I mean, it's a situation where they're driving onto an area where we would never expect someone to drive onto.
Is there a statute that prohibits someone from driving in a ditch?
Well,
alongside
certainly
a county road?
I believe it would certainly be a traffic violation. You're driving outside of the lane, so you're violating a number of infractions, including staying within the lanes. I can't have any others come to mind, but I would be hard-pressed to think of a good reason to be driving along a ditch.
You're here on a petition for further review, is that
yes.
right? What did the Court of Appeals do wrong?
The Court of Appeals basically sidestepped the issue and said trial counsel failed to properly raise this at the trial level because they didn't use the magic words of public property or private property with public access. They used the words public roadway. The district court then said the state doesn't have to show it happened on a street or highway. And so the appellate court said for that reason, it was never properly raised at the trial level. I think that's a very hyper-technical argument. I think it was clear that trial counsel was arguing this does not satisfy the requirements of 60-6108.
That statute ever referenced? Do we find that statute referenced anywhere in the Bill of Exceptions?
No, I don't believe so. I understand, and I wish, looking back, and it's easy to play the armchair quarterback and say it should have been raised better, there should have been better clarification, but I don't understand where there would be confusion to think she was raising some other issue other than the fact that this has to occur on public roadway or private property with public access.
Is that an element of the crime, and does the state have to charge that in its charging document?
It's not, and that's why this is such an unusual situation is, I touched upon that briefly to say, is this an element that needs to be proven? It's not, which to me is why it has to be a matter of law that a district court has to decide, does this satisfy those requirements under 60-6108, much like State v. McCabe and many of the others where they have to determine, as a legal possibility, can this occur? Can you commit driving under the influence? Well, you can't commit it unless it happens on public roadway or private property with public access. Does a road ditch satisfy either one of those? With that, I do believe I am quite out of time, unless there are any other questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Lewis, good morning to you.
Good morning. May it please the court, Nathan Lewis, Assistant Attorney General, appearing on behalf of the Appalachian State of Nebraska. The appellant's PFR presents two primary issues. Number one, did the trial court preclude the defense from challenging the applicability of 60-6108? And number two, is the application of 60-6108 a question of law for the court or a question of fact for a finder of fact? I'm going to start with the second question since that's the most significant issue and where the last discussion just ended. As far as whether it's a question of fact or a question of law, the appellant cites McCabe in support of their assertion that this is a question of law rather than a question of fact. We disagree. We submit that it's not a question of law, and we respectfully submit that McCabe is incorrect on this issue for two reasons. Number one, McCabe conflicts with prior decisions from this court, such as State v. Prater and State v. Garcia, which say that this is a question of fact. We see no way to reconcile McCabe with these other decisions.
Overrule McCabe?
We are asking you to overrule McCabe. We think it's wrong in two respects, and in this first one, we see no way to reconcile McCabe with these other decisions. It can't be both a question of fact and a question of law. We would submit it's a question of fact, which would be consistent with Mateet, Prater, and Garcia. It'd be consistent with how this is generally handled in DUI cases, and it'd be consistent with how we handle venue when we instruct juries. So we disagree with McCabe to the extent that it says this is or can be a question of law. Our second disagreement with McCabe is that if this is a question of law, or even if it were a question of law, we disagree with the analysis there. We would submit that the analysis should have just revolved around an application of our already established definition of open to public access, but instead of going there, McCabe looked at a separate statutory definition of public roadway and said because a residential driveway qualifies as a public roadway, you don't have permission and thus you don't have the ability. We disagree. We don't think that lack of permission is equivalent to a lack of ability. People obviously have the ability to access a residential driveway, just as they have the ability to access a private apartment complex, as in Prater, or a city right-of-way, as in Mateet, or a parking lot of a closed business, as in Pester. The defendants in those cases didn't arguably have permission to be where they were, but they had the ability, which is why our DUI laws applied. So we would submit that McCabe's conclusion to the contrary can't be reconciled with these decisions, in our view, and it can't be reconciled with our definition of open to public access. So to answer your question, Justice Hebekin, yes, we are asking you to overrule McCabe and conclude that this is purely a question of fact, or should be purely a question of fact moving forward. If this court concludes otherwise and finds that McCabe's correct and this is a question of law, we would submit that it should be purely a question of law moving forward, and the other decision saying this is a question of fact should be overruled so that we have clarity on this matter. We would submit that it needs to be one or the other.
So is it an affirmative defense?
In our assessment, it's an element of the offense. I think it would be treated like venue. I don't see any basis to distinguish it from venue. Venue is, while it is in a separate statute, it's in Chapter 29 rather than Chapter 28. It's treated as an element of the offense. I'm not sure why this would be treated any differently.
Does it need to be charged if it's an element of the offense?
Well, I suppose that's probably ideal, but I don't know that it would be absolutely necessary. I mean, I suppose if it wasn't, somebody could take that up.
How is a practicing lawyer to know, to make a difference between ideal but not necessary?
I'm sorry?
How is a county attorney or a practicing attorney to know whether something may be ideal but not necessary?
Well, I mean, generally speaking, with charging an offense, it's adequate to just allege the language of the statute. And, I mean, if you're just going off the DUI statute itself, it's not going to add in this separate requirement.
Would you expect to see an allegation of this event happened in such and such county in a charging document with respect to venue?
We do expect it, and we typically do see it, yes.
So if you're right, and the provisions of 60-6108 are a material element of the crime of DUI, was there a jury instruction in this case that incorporated that material element?
There was not.
What do we do with that?
Well, we would submit it's harmless error. Failure to submit a material element is subject to a harmless error analysis under State v. Merchant. We would submit in this case it was harmless. Obviously, the definition that would have, assuming it's a question of fact, that it should have gone to the jury would have been, was this, did this offense occur on a public highway or somewhere open to public, private property, open to public access? We would submit that we can find beyond a reasonable doubt the jury would have found that there was no evidence this was private property, not open to public access. And if we just apply the general definition, with the already established definition of open to public access, it's that the public has the ability or permission to enter. Here, he was in the ditch. He clearly had the ability to enter the ditch. I don't see any way the jury could have looked at those facts and said he didn't have the ability to enter and be where he was. So we would submit that the failure to instruct the jury on that particular element is harmless in this case, assuming it is a question of fact and should have been instructed.
Will there be DUI cases where it is not an issue of fact? Will it depend on the evidence that comes before the DUI court, whether it is a material element or not?
Well, there could be situations where it's just, in most situations, it's not really in dispute where something happens on an interstate or, you know, public highway. Everybody knows it's a public roadway, and so it's just not, it doesn't come up, and sometimes it doesn't get addressed and it doesn't even get instructed on because it's just undisputed. Nobody's even focusing on that or paying any attention to it. But I suppose there could be situations where, you know, it's less clear. And that's really why we're asking this court for the clarification on what is the nature of this. Because if we have this case law which suggests it's generally a question of fact, but in some contexts it could be a question of law, I don't know how we handle that from a litigation standpoint. If you go into that, especially as a prosecutor, thinking, well, I think it's a question of fact, and then it turns out to be a question of law, as in McCabe, well, you've potentially adduced evidence on something during trial which is a question of law, and that'd be a reversible error in Merchant. But conversely, if you think, well, hey, maybe this is a question of law, then you don't go in, as in this case, and you don't prove it up. You potentially haven't proven up all the material elements of the case, and you lose as a matter of fact.
So I'm interested in your perspective. I assume you have a better statewide perspective than most. Is this a practice? Are trial courts ordinarily instructing on the provisions of 60-6108, or are they not?
I would say in most cases that I see, they are. I think that's the best practice. It's the practice that I recommend when I talk with prosecutors. I put together some DUI materials a while back and did a presentation. And that was my recommendation, was to treat this as an element. I think that's how it should be treated, especially in light of this court's prior decisions, which to me clearly say it's a question of fact. I occasionally see situations where it doesn't get addressed. And again, typically that's a situation which is just undisputed. And so it's just not, doesn't come up. It's not a problem. But I think the best practice is to instruct on it.
We spend a lot of time talking about roads and highways and what do they mean and what are the definitions, but the statute actually says that the DUI law, that the DUI provisions apply anywhere in the state, on the highways or anywhere in the state, except private property, not open to public access. So do we need to focus so keenly on whether it was a highway or a road when the statutory language says anywhere except private property not open to public access? Do we need to reach the question of whether a ditch is part of the roadway?
I don't think you need to answer whether it's part of the roadway. I mean, I think we need to determine whether or not it qualifies in the other provision of the statute of anywhere throughout the state except private property open to public access. And that's where things get a little bit hairy when you look at McCabe, because we went beyond the general definition of open to public access there and turned to a separate statute. And I don't, part of the problem I have with McCabe is I don't know where that ends, because if you look at a separate statutory definition, say we have a separate statutory definition of a restricted parking lot, and the statute says, well, you can't park in a restricted parking lot. If you do, you're guilty of an infraction and your vehicle is subject to being towed. If somebody's in one of those parking lots and they're found to be drunk, can't they make the same argument McCabe did, that this, we have a separate statutory definition, the property in question qualifies, I didn't have permission to be there, and thus I didn't have the ability under the same type of analysis as McCabe. I don't know where we go with that. Or maybe even more analogous to McCabe, take another private roadway, the definition of private roadway. Ms. Benson just argued a case in the Court of Appeals, State v. Seckmeyer, where it's a commercial property, defendant goes up a private roadway and slams into a construction building or a building that's being constructed. Well, that's a private roadway. I mean, can't they make the same argument as McCabe and say, it's a private roadway, thus I didn't have permission, and thus I don't have the ability? I don't know that's how that's workable, and I don't know how we can look at McCabe and say it's just a one-off, it's limited to just that factual scenario. It seems to me that the other defendants would be allowed to make the same argument, and I just don't see how we work with that, which is why we're asking you to overrule McCabe and clarify that this should be a question of fact moving forward, and purely a question of fact in our view. If there are no further questions, we would ask that you affirm the judgment of the Court of Appeals and clarify this matter. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have any time for rebuttal?
No, Your
Honor. We will go on then to the next case of the day, which is Edney versus Monthy.